As we wait for scientists to produce a new vaccine that prevents people from catching COVID-19, contact tracing is one of the most reliable ways to stop the virus from spreading. But WHYY health and science reporter Alan Yu says it's not foolproof.
Governor Wolf says that as of now, it's been about 75% of the people that they call will respond to contact tracers.
But now there's an app for that. I know, but seriously, Pennsylvania's just released an app that'll alert users if they've been in contact with someone who's tested positive for the virus. Delaware also recently launched an app, and New Jersey has one in the works.
The thinking is that with this new app, more people will be alerted about whether or not they've been in touch with someone who tested positive for COVID-19.
Why do officials think that this app could help stop the spread? And why could efforts to protect users' privacy have actually made it harder to know if it's working? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Alan, this new app is referred to as an exposure notification app. What's the difference between exposure notification and contact tracing?
So that's a good question. Contact tracing is the process of finding people who have come in touch with someone who tested positive for the virus. And it works when, you know the people that you've been close to. Exposure notification, it tells you if you've been around someone who tested positive. So say you're on a bus, for example, and you sit next to someone and that person later tests positive. That person has no idea, who you are, what your phone number is. So even if they know that they could have spread the new coronavirus to you, they would have no idea of telling you. With this app, then you could be next to strangers and be aware if you were close to someone that later tested positive.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I am so not tech savvy. So can you walk me through how this works?
Yes. So Pennsylvania and Delaware, their apps build on a platform that use Apple and Google's operating systems. So your smartphone already has Bluetooth in it. That's how you get, for example, your wireless headphones to connect to your smartphone. And the way that this exposure notification works is that your phone will send out little chirps or Bluetooth signals to other phones around you. And so once you download the app, your phone can send these Bluetooth chirps with other phones that have the app. And so if you've been close to someone, and close here is defined as being within 6 feet for at least 15 minutes, then you will know that you have had a close contact. And if someone tests positive and they have the app, then their phone will have a record of all the other phones with the app that it's been close to in the past 2 weeks, and that can alert the people that you might have got in touch with.
So is the app tracking your location?
This app does not track your location. It only tracks what other phones that have the app have been close to your phone. Now, there are some other exposure notification apps that do track people's location. For example, Australia, they decided not to make an app using the Bluetooth platform because they do want to know where people have been and who they might have gotten exposed to. Now, that means, of course, less privacy for people who have the app, but it does mean that contact tracers will in turn have more information to work with. And Singapore made the same decision. They decided that they would give up a bit of user privacy so that their contact tracers can have an easier way to find out where people might have gotten the new coronavirus.
Okay, say I'm a user and I get a notification that somebody I was close to tested positive, then what do I do?
So that might be a good point for you to see if you can get tested for the new coronavirus. And if you do test positive, you can put that information into your app so that other people who have been close to you with the app can be aware of that. And maybe they want to get tested too.
So it sounds like this app's effectiveness kind of relies on people who have it doing what they're supposed to do.
Yes, exactly. So this app is entirely dependent on people having it and doing something. And that is actually by design.
It's up to you whether or not you even want to call your public health authority and let them know that you've gotten one of these warnings or not.
I talked to Mark Zisman at MIT, and he worked on the app, and he's an expert in cybersecurity. And he says people who use the app have to choose to have it, they have to choose to get tested, and they have to choose to enter if they have a positive test result.
I suppose you could just go ahead and quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. You know, that would be a nice thing to do. It would be better if you let the public health authority know. I think that that would be helpful, but you don't have to do that.
It is all up to what the user wants to do, and that is a way to address the privacy concerns.
That would also mean that you have to have access to COVID testing with a decent turnaround time.
Yes, and that has been a problem in some places in the U.S., including in Philadelphia. But yes, for this to work, you do need to have access to COVID testing. That doesn't take like 2 weeks.
If I download this app, how do I know that my privacy will be protected?
The people who worked on the app addressed this in several ways. First of all, the actual matching, like who has been in touch with whom, is done on your phone. It's not done on some central government database. So only the person who has the app on their phone can know if they matched with someone who later tested positive. And Mark Zisman at MIT suggested that we look at it this way.
I was a sick person. What did I do? I uploaded all the chirps that I sent over the past 2 weeks. But those chirps, they had nothing about me in them. And then you, as the person who was the contact, all you did was you downloaded all those chirps and you compared them. You came to find that you were close to somebody who was sick. It didn't tell you that it was me that you were close to, right? It just told you that, hey, you've been near somebody who was sick. And so you probably want to go ahead and take some actions you wouldn't have otherwise taken.
What about other apps that are being used in other areas? Have those privacy concerns been addressed?
There have been indeed quite a number of privacy concerns when it comes to using apps for contact tracing. So one particular example was in Norway. So Norway kind of started using apps for contact tracing very early on. And the app that they used actually tracked people's Bluetooth and their location data and stored that on a central server. And it's got to the point where the government's own data protection agency told the health department to stop using the app and delete all the data because it intruded on people's privacy. So the way that the Pennsylvania and Delaware apps are different is that their apps do not track location data, and all of the positive matching is done on your phone and not some database that other people has access to.
When we come back...
The interesting thing, though, is that the privacy protections actually make it a little bit hard to study how effective the app is.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Alan Yu about a new app that alerts users if they've been in contact with someone who's been infected with COVID-19. Okay, so we know that Pennsylvania and Delaware are asking people to start using the app, and New Jersey will soon too. How will folks be convinced to get on board with using the app?
Right. So public health departments really have to get the word out to as many people as they can, and they need to convince people that it is safe to use and that it does not intrude on people's privacy. And they can also make an appeal to personal responsibility. So it's the idea that It's kind of like a mask that, you know, if you have it and more people have it, then you can both be aware if later someone tests positive. And that helps alert people and eventually will help slow the spread of COVID-19. But the only way to have it be effective is if you have enough people downloading the app. And that means addressing all the privacy concerns that people might have. So, for example, when Delaware released its version of the app last week, it encouraged all state employees to download it. And one employee, a public school teacher, told my colleague Zoe Reed that she actually thought the app was an invasion of privacy, and she was skeptical.
My brother and I, we had these extensive conversations, and he lived in Europe for a little bit. And he is like totally against it, and so am I. Just like my thoughts and other individuals I spoke to, they're just concerned, like Big Brother's watching you type of thing. And that's the reason why we are not going to agree to have that app downloaded.
Because she thought it would gather her location data. But she learned that it does not, and now she's reconsidering whether she wants to use it or not.
Now, Alan, I know you're a stellar reporter, so I have to ask if you downloaded the app and what you thought about it.
I did download the app, and so far I think it's fine. I'm not worried about my privacy. For context, I have both the Facebook app and Google Maps on my phone, so I know my phone is already tracking both my location data and a lot else. So I don't think that the COVID Alert PA app is tracking me any more than any of the other apps that are on my phone do so.
Yeah, that's fair. But do officials think that if they get enough people to download it, it would actually work?
The short answer is we don't know. So because this is a relatively new virus, there's much to learn about this particular disease. And also knowing that using these apps for exposure notification and to help contact tracing is also something that's new. And so we still need to learn a lot more about the disease, about how it spreads, and about just how people are using the app before we can say definitively, okay, we need this many people to have it for it to be effective.
Alan, I guess the success of this app really just depends on people doing everything they're supposed to do. You know, if people need to go get a test, they go get one. They put the results in the app and doing all that kind of stuff. But there's no guarantees that they will do that. So to what extent do you think officials think this app will actually work?
Well, I think it's exactly as you say. This is an early attempt to do this kind of thing. And so Switzerland was the first country to make an exposure notification app using the Apple and Google Bluetooth platform. And researchers there say that there is some early evidence that it does help with contact tracing. But the ultimate promise is that this will help reach people traditional contact tracing does not reach. And right now, we just don't have evidence to say that indeed it does. The interesting thing, though, is that the privacy protections actually make it a little bit hard to study how effective the app is. And so the Swiss researchers wrote that the restriction to information on people's devices mean that it's going to be harder for them to easily study how effective this is for contact tracing. And if they need information, they have to gather it somewhere else. But on the other hand, its success depends on having more people use it. And so in countries like the US and other societies where people value their privacy, if you don't have robust privacy protections, you might not have as many people using the app to begin with. And so it's a fundamental trade-off. You have to decide, do you want to have really robust privacy protections, even if it means you can't get as many data from the app as contact tracers or researchers would like to study its effectiveness? Or do you have an app that gathers more information, but then you run the risk of people, you know, sort of being worried as to how much information is being gathered and then not using it, because that doesn't really work either. So there's no really kind of provably right way to do it, but it's a balance that societies and public health authorities will have to strike for themselves.
Thank you so much, as always, for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you for having me.
That was WHYY Health and Science reporter Alan Yu. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Zerka, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk Thursday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.